The Prime Minister and his team have returned to Canberra today to congratulate one another on their surprise victory. The mood in their first party room meeting was, of course, jubilant. And Scott Morrison's newly reshuffled cabinet is set to be sworn in tomorrow. Dan Tehan is continuing in his role as Education Minister, and he joins me now. Dan Tehan, welcome.
Thanks, Patricia. Wonderful to be with you.
The mood's been very upbeat as Coalition MPs return to Canberra today. What was the Prime Minister's main message to the team as you get back to work?
His main message was that we need to govern humbly and we need to focus on the Australian people and make sure that we deliver for them and that they have our focus, our 100% focus. And I thought it was a very important message for everyone. The idea that this election was a victory for the Australian people and that we owe it to them to deliver for them, and we need to do that humbly. And I thought it was a very, very important message.
Was that also a message not to be too arrogant and not to be complacent? Are there lessons, for instance, from past surprise victories? I'm looking at 1993, for instance, after Labor won. Of course, a short 3 years later, they were smashed at the election.
I think all of us know that if you don't focus on the Australian people, then they will then look at alternatives as to how they want to be governed.
The government didn't articulate a whole lot of new policy at the election. We know about the tax cuts policy because it was announced in the budget and argued for. There were some small policies announced, but nothing major. When you talk about mandate, you actually don't have a mandate in a whole range of areas, do you?
I would disagree, Patricia. I think we do have a strong mandate. I think we set out election commitments very clearly. A lot of what we set out was in the budget, which obviously then led to the election campaign. And I think the first thing we need to do and the first thing we need to prioritise, and this is something the Prime Minister has made very clear, is making sure that we implement the budget and implement all our election commitments.
And on that issue, tax cuts, of course, need to be legislated. The PM suggested people would get them on July 1, but they won't because the Parliament won't come back in time.
Well, we're working to make sure that those tax cuts are delivered. We're obviously in the hands at the moment of the Australian Electoral Commission. It seems that we won't be in a position to have the writs issued until late June, which means that the Parliament is most likely to sit for the first time in the first week of July. But the Prime Minister made it very clear that delivering those tax cuts will be the first agenda item and the number one priority of the new government.
So a delay is a broken promise because the Prime Minister said people would get them immediately.
Well, they will get them immediately, as immediately as we can deliver them. Ultimately, we've got to obey constitutional law. We can't bring the Parliament back before the AEC have advised that we can do that. So we've got to do everything, obviously, within the bounds of what's possible. But the Prime Minister has made it very clear that delivering those tax cuts will be the number one priority and will be done as soon as it's legally possible to do so.
But surely the government knew about the legal parameters before you became the government during the election campaign. So now the legal parameters are being talked about. They weren't during the campaign.
Well, there was, it's never absolutely clear as to when the Parliament is able to resume. Our hope was that we would be able to resume the Parliament in the last week of June or in the second half of June. Now, it does seem that that's not possible at the moment, although things could change and it might be possible, we don't know, to have a sitting week in the end of June. So we'll just have to wait and see. But my understanding is all the advice at the moment is saying that it's more probable to be the first week of July. So we'll sit the first week of July and first priority will be delivering the tax cuts.
If you're just tuning in, Dan Tehan is my guest. He is the re-elected Education Minister in the Morrison government. Re-elected crossbencher Rebecca Sharkey wants you to look at a serious review of post-secondary education, but not just universities, also vocational training, traineeships and apprenticeships too. Is that something you'll consider?
Well, that we've obviously put in place before the election campaign the Joyce Review, and Michaela Cash will be looking at implementing that in her role. When it comes to higher education, obviously we have reviews going on as far as the university sector is concerned, and they will be ongoing, and I'm looking forward to working with the university sector with those reviews to see how we take that sector forward. So I will work collaboratively with Michaela Cash in making sure that post-school, whether it be education or training, that the government is delivering for those people who either want to take on a trade or those who want to get a university degree.
The Prime Minister said yesterday that one of his priorities was to ensure Indigenous children are in school and getting an education. How can you work on making that a reality? Ken Wyatt will be the Indigenous Affairs Minister, but how much will individual ministers like yourself be tasked with working specifically on these sorts of measures?
Yeah, it's a good question. We do need to take a whole of government approach to this issue, there's no doubt. But also, we've got to work collaboratively with the state and territory governments on an issue like this. So one of the things that I'll be looking to do is work in particular with the NT Education Minister, Selena Ubo, who's obviously doing important work in this area, working with the Western Australia State Government, working with the Queensland State Government. So this is something that we're going to have to take a whole of government approach at the Commonwealth level, but also work with state and territory governments as well. And look, I think all levels of government and right across government, no matter what the political side you're on, everyone understands the importance of this, and it will be a key focus, because we know if we can ensure that Indigenous children are getting the education that they need, then the life outcomes they'll get will be remarkably improved.
Anthony Albanese said this morning that he likes the idea of a national summit on violence against women, and several of your coalition colleagues, like Mark Coulton, think it's a good idea too. Is that something you'd back?
Look, obviously this will be a question for Maurice Payne. She's been appointed as the new Minister for Women by the Prime Minister. Obviously, I would support her considering this. I think it's an idea that's got merit, but ultimately that'll be a decision for Maurice and potentially the Cabinet. But I don't think there would be anyone who wouldn't think that it's an idea that has merit and is worth considering.
During the campaign, Labor wanted more anti-domestic violence education in our schools. Is that something now, as Education Minister, you think is worth considering?
Well, look, there's a lot on the agenda for Education Council. That's where the State and Territory Education Ministers and the Commonwealth sit down and work out what should be on the national curriculum, how we work that with the various state and territory curriculums. There are a lot of ideas that are put forward as to what the curriculum should or shouldn't have on it. One of the things we do have to do, though, is make sure that teachers and principals can focus on the basics. So any idea as to what should be put on the curriculum is obviously welcome, but it's something that has to be worked through with state and territory governments, because in the end they run both the primary and secondary school systems in their state and territory. But I welcome all ideas as to what we can do to put on curriculums that would obviously make Australia a better place to live.
Labor's launching a legal challenge against the Liberal victory in the seat of Chisholm. Of course, that's in Melbourne, and you're a Victorian MP. Because of what they say was misleading in the how to vote information posted on Chinese social media platform WeChat, are you worried that Gladys Liu is in danger here?
Well, look, we'll let the process take place. My understanding is that they were properly authorised, so I don't think there is an issue, but we'll let the proper processes take place.
You said they were properly authorised. Who are they authorised by?
Look, I'm not across the exact detail of it all, but my understanding is that they were properly authorised.
Just finally, Anthony Albanese is in Queensland. He's in the seat of Longman today, which is a seat, of course, Labor lost. He would like to win it back in 3 years' time, clearly why he was there and signalling a different message or a different approach for Labor. Do you think he's a more formidable opponent than Bill Shorten?
I think that anyone who makes it to leader of a political party gets there because they've got various skills. My focus very much is on the government and us governing. I'll leave others to comment on whether Anthony Albanese is the same as Bill Shorten, worse than Bill Shorten, or better than Bill Shorten. My focus is very much on making sure I deliver for my electorate and ensuring also as Education Minister I'm doing everything I can to improve the outcomes and results we get from our record investment in education.
Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Patricia.